You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
We give thanks again to our pastor, Pastor Twyman, for yet another opportunity to stand where the Lord has appointed him to preach the word, and he's gracious enough to share this opportunity with us, and we just want to say thank you, Pastor. We're so grateful. To all of the fellow ministers, all of the deacons and officers, and to all of the members and visitors, we greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as always, we know that it is a blessing to be in the house of prayer just one more time. We won't keep you very long this morning, but we want to call your attention to a passage of scripture found in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And we want to share with you verses 24 through 28. When you get it, just say amen. Reading there from the King James Version, you will find these words. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Just for a few moments, we want to use for a subject this morning, finally broken. Finally broken. If you don't understand that thought, you can try. You cannot win until you give in to God. Finally, broken. Give in. Give up. Surrender. Yield. Relinquish control. Submit. Abdicate. Put your hands up. Cry out to God. Ask the Lord for mercy. Now, I know that most of us have a problem, a big problem, at the mere thought of surrendering.
Yes, sir.
A lot of wives want to cut out that portion of the wedding vows where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands." Children want to cut out the part in the Bible where it says, "Children, obey your parents."
Yes, sir.
And when we're on the job, some of us want to cut out that part where it says, slaves, submit yourself to your master. I know some of them think they're masters. And that's the only kingdom some of them know is that job. And they act like you're their subjects and they'll do anything. But as Christians, we still need to submit and obey. Now, normally in the world, when one surrenders to another in battle, it is a sign that they are giving up any hope of victory. But this is not so in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, you cannot win until you give in. When we surrender to God, it means to yield our ownership. And it means to relinquish control over whatever it is that we consider to be ours. Our property, our time, our rights, our souls, and our spirits. We got to give it up. We got to surrender it all to the Lord. But the problem is, so often, even in our spiritual lives, we refuse to surrender. We still want to maintain a certain amount of control. We don't want to allow the Lord to be the head of our lives, and so we continue to sit on the throne, make our own decisions, keep on messing our lives up, and refuse to yield. We just won't allow the Lord to have his way in our lives. We have to maintain a certain amount of control. And so it's a battle. We fight. We put the nubs up. We'll fight God tooth and nail so that we can maintain control of our lives, so that we can make the decisions. We don't want to turn anything over. We'll go to war over the simplest things. I need you to come back to the 4 o'clock service. I need you to come to Bible study on Wednesday. I need you to come to Sunday school on Sunday. No, I ain't. That don't sound like anything I want to do. And it spills over into our regular lives and to our spiritual lives. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We just don't want to give up that control to God. We don't want to surrender. And sometimes Lord literally has to break us, knock us down. Paul comes to mind. Paul thought he was doing God's will when he was going about trying to destroy the church. And the Lord literally had to knock him down, blind him, before he could see God's will. He was finally broken. And he went on to allow God to use him to write at least 14 books of the Bible. He had to go back into the old neighborhood where he used to try and kill folk, and it wasn't easy, but he went back, And the Lord used him in a mighty, mighty way because he surrendered his life to God. He turned it all over. But he gave his life to the Lord. But we refuse to give it up to anyone or anybody. It's difficult. And so we make life a struggle. We struggle with self. We struggle with self-will. And we struggle with self-determination. We struggle with our social identity. Because everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be a winner. We struggle in our efforts to obtain material gains. We struggle financially. And I just want to mention something. There was a lady I used to know. It's been almost 30 years ago. She was a member of the church, and we were talking one day about tithing. And we were talking about introducing it to the new members who joined that church. And she said, "I don't think that's a good idea." And she said, "Because I think I know just a little bit more about my finances than the Lord does." She'd rather trust in her own self than trust in the Lord. We buried her about a year later. Because she refused to surrender to God's will. Plain as day, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And he said something about, "I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to receive, and still we won't do it." Lord said, "Give me a dime out of every dollar." That's too much. That's way too much. Lord, you ask too much, Lord. And we'll hang on to those 10 dimes and refuse to give up the one dime. And so we struggle. We struggle financially trying to make ends meet when all we have to do is trust God. We struggle. We struggle in relationships. We struggle with our hang-ups and our habits that threaten to destroy us. We struggle in our thought life. Can't keep our minds straight because we're so busy thinking about stuff we ain't got no business thinking about. That's why we struggle with temptations and the resulting sin that comes from our thought life. I'm trying to tell you, you cannot win until you give in. And I ought to put in parentheses, give in to God. Don't give in to something else. When I was out there in the world, I put down weed and picked up alcohol. Still didn't work. But we'll give up one bad habit and pick something right up unless we give our lives to God. And we struggle even in our Christian walk. We struggle with our own fears, our own anxieties. We struggle to walk the walk and talk the talk. Sometimes in our neighborhoods and on our jobs, people don't even know that we're a child of God. And then we struggle in our prayer life. And the Bible says that we have not because we ain't talking to him. especially if he's going to tell us something that we don't want to hear. We can easily avoid that. We just won't talk to him. We don't talk to him about anything.
Yes, sir.
And so, because we don't talk to God, we struggle.
Yes.
We struggle in our daily devotion. We struggle in our fellowship with the Lord.
Yes.
Therefore, we struggle in our witnessing.
Yes.
And Lord, have mercy, but too often, we find ourselves struggling with God. And God has to break us to fix us. That brings us to our text a little bit. We're going to talk about Jacob. Jacob is the main focus of our text this morning. Now, I would that you would read his story. Jacob's story is more than Abraham's story. Isaac gets maybe a chapter or two. But from the time we start talking about Jacob to the end of Genesis, some way Jacob is involved, either he or a member of his family. But it's an interesting story. You remember Jacob, before he was even born, he stuck his hand out of the mother's womb, trying to grab hold to his brother Esau's foot. He came out grabbing. And it continued in his life. He grabbed Esau's foot, then he grabbed his birthright, then he grabbed his blessing. And his name means supplanter. He was a grabber. He was a deceiver. He was always trying to get the up on somebody. You know some folk like that, you know. They just got to be number one. They got to be ahead of everybody. And they'll do it any kind of way they can. There's somebody in the White House. I can't think of his name. Even though he's already president, he still feels like he has to connive and cheat and lie. I heard somebody say lie. I didn't know he lied. But he's a supplanter. He will not surrender to God. And so he struggles. And as a result, all the lives that he touched struggle. He creates problems from all over the world. It's a struggle. Jacob had come into the world struggling. And it just kept on and on and on. He struggled. You need to read his life story to understand all that he went through, because we don't have time to go through it all. But Jacob is a type of us. If you think closely about it, he's just like us. Like we used to be. For the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. God is sanctifying us every day, working from the inside out, so that when people see us, we don't act like we used to act. We don't talk like we used to act. We don't go to the places that we used to go, because God is moving in our lives. He's working on us.
Yes, sir.
And as long as we're in this body, he's going to be working on us. There's always going to be something, some area in our lives that God needs to improve on, but he's going to be chipping away at us, working to make us more and more like Christ Jesus. Jacob was a grabber. All his life, he was a grabber. Did a lot of dirt. And there are consequences for the things that we do in life. Sooner or later, they're going to catch up with you. Sooner or later, they're going to catch up with you. And at this point in our text, it's almost Jacob's time. When he stole Esau's birthright, he took off to Haran and got him a wife, and things didn't work out so well for him there because he ran into another trickster, and he ended up staying 20 years trying to pay off for the woman he loved and for the cattle that he had gained when he was in Haran. And he finally decides to get out of Haran, and he gets word that Esau, who had promised he was going to kill him when he caught up with him, is coming after him. And the Lord had told him to return, go back home to your country and to your kinfolk, and probably the first thing he thought about was Esau. I tricked him good. Thought he had got away with, stayed away 20 years, and he was still thinking Esau had it in for him. And if you read this 32nd chapter, Jacob begins to pray because he's afraid of Esau, scared to death of him. And so he prays, and his prayer is interesting, to say the least.
Yes, sir.
It's chapter 32, verse 9. He says, basically, to Abraham, to can you put that one up for me? But he basically says to the God of Abraham, to the God of Isaac, and he cuts it off there. He doesn't call him my God, but he prays to the God of my father Abraham and to the God of my father Isaac. He asks God to deliver him, and when he gets through praying, he goes right back to conniving. I think around verse 15 or 16, he gets up and he starts right back off where he left off at before he got down on his knees. Even though he's prayed to God, even though he's asked God to deliver him from his brother Esau, as soon as he gets up off his knees, he goes right back to taking control. And he sets up bands of gifts that he plans to give to Esau, hoping that these will appease him. He doesn't wait to see what God is going to do about it. He's going to take care of this himself. I tell you, he's just like some of us. We talk to the Lord about something, we pray about it, and as soon as we get up off our knees, I'm going to fix this myself. I ain't got time to wait on God. He too slow. I need help right now. A lot of guys in jail because they wouldn't wait on God. And go out and rob a store, rob a bank, steal a purse, because they refuse to surrender and to wait on God. Jacob was just like that. He refused. And so when we come to our text here, again, Jacob is decided that he's going to take things into his own hand. And so he marches all these gifts across the bridge And he ends up all alone. That's the first thing we need to take note of in our text, is that sometimes when we talk to God, we need to get alone and by ourselves. So that not only can we talk to God, but we can hear God talking to us. And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It was nighttime, it was dark. He didn't really know who he was wrestling with. But later on, we find out that he was really wrestling with God. Because he named the place Peniel. And so he was wrestling with God. Now, there are some spiritual thoughts that the Lord is trying to show us here. We need to get alone. We need to be careful sometimes who we're grabbing onto, lest we be found struggling, wrestling with God. Jacob had no problem grabbing on to other things, but he finally did one thing right. He grabbed hold to God. He struggled with him. He wrestled with him. He didn't want to give up anything. They were wrestling all night long, and it was a battle. And finally, when the Lord saw that he wasn't prevailing with him, he wasn't going to give up, he broke his thigh, his hip, the hollow of his thigh. He was finally broken. Sometimes the Lord has to break us before he can fix us. He walked away with a permanent limp, a reminder that he had wrestled with God. He had literally seen God's face, and he lived. Some of us ought to be dead and sleeping in our grave for wrestling with God. God literally has to take some of us, well, he took me, almost to my grave before I gave in. We struggle, we fight, but we need to be careful when we're dealing with God. God had been blessing Jacob all of his life, had a plan for his life. And everything he was struggling for, God had already promised him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you put God first. Jacob struggled, and finally the Lord broke him. The message teaches us also in verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You cannot win until you give in. But when you give in, it's only then that you really get the victory. That's the only way you're going to get in ahead in life is when you surrender your life to Christ. Jacob was finally broken. After wrestling with God all night long. And the question is, what does it take to break us? When are you going to give in? When are you going to stop struggling? Stop fighting? Stop battling God on every turn? And surrender to his life. I'm a witness that he'll make your life brand new. Yes, sir. If you would only surrender. Yes, sir. God can fix us. Yes, sir. If we turn our lives over to him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And God has a strange way of fixing things. Yes, sir. God will fix things with things that have been broken. Yes. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Finally, broken. But they didn't finish right there. The Bible says, after my Lord had traveled down through 42 generations, doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. The Bible says that one Thursday night he was betrayed of men, led from judgment hall to judgment hall. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They beat him until he was almost unrecognizable. They took him out to Golgotha's hill, nailed him to an old rugged cross. They had put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. They hung him high and stretched him wide, pierced him in the side, and the blood came streaming down. They took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed dead all night Friday night. Stayed dead all night Saturday night. But the Bible says that early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. The Lord can fix it for you. But you got to give in if you really want to win. You got to surrender your life to Christ. Give it all to him. All to him I owe, because he paid it all for me. Finally broken. Jacob did all that struggling, only to be finally broken. If you look at the rest of his life, he was a changed man. Because the Lord had did some damage to his hip, he didn't walk the same anymore. Didn't talk the same anymore. Had a personal relationship with the Lord. He didn't just talk about the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, but he's also the God of Jacob now. Because Jacob gave in. He surrendered his life to the Lord. And if you're struggling today, you need to follow Jacob's example. Don't keep fighting. Don't keep conniving and trying to get ahead on your own. Trust God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.